The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from the rooftop of the Rockies, it's Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn.
All right, and here is hour two. It's Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn here and broadcasting, live, local, across Colorado. Right here at 710 KNUS. Big honor here to visit with an individual that I think very highly of, Svetlana Lokova. We've had a chance to do a few radio interviews going back about 5 or 6 months now. And I first began to follow the case of Svetlana Lokova implicated with General Flynn, implicated in Spygate, going back a couple of years ago. And I looked into it a few years ago and started talking about it right here on this program and tweeting about it on the Backbone Radio Twitter page. And I developed some very strong opinions about the injustice done to Svetlana Lokova, a British citizen born in Russia, academic at Cambridge University, studying the history of intelligence, a fascinating field to be in, and one that she has found herself in the middle, personally, directly affected by Spygate, the biggest political scandal in American history. And it also happens to be the field of her academic expertise. And if you go look at Svetlana Lokova's Twitter page or read her one book that is out and another book on the way, another book about Stefan Halper coming up in July or August, you're going to find a very, very skilled writing style, a great sense of humor, one of the best Twitter platforms out there, period. And without further ado on introductions, let me just say, Svetlana Lokova, thank you for taking a moment for us out here in Colorado. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Matt, and a huge pleasure for me to be speaking to you. You've been following the story in such a great detail, and it's great to see your passion for trying to get to trying to get justice and trying to get accountability for the people who treated individuals in your country so badly, and also such a pleasure to be speaking directly to your great audience.
Well, right on, and I was encouraged to see a tweet that you sent out a few days ago, and you were saying that for the first time you're getting cautiously optimistic that we're on the way to some accountability for what went on with Spygate, and a certain percentage of it, yes, does affect you directly. You were leading your boring academic life. You know, you've got your husband, you've got your daughter, you're out there just, I don't know what academics do, looking at your textbooks all day long and writing. Could not have a more boring life. And then all of a sudden, everything upside down, international headlines, accused of seducing General Flynn and, plotting with Russian intelligence to compromise General Flynn, and the most salacious stuff imaginable. And somehow or another, your boring life went to all of that essentially overnight. But 3 years later, here we are, and you've been fighting all the way along heroically. And you've had so many people across this country and even around the world supporting you and your cause, and we are one of them for sure around here. But why would you say at this point you're feeling cautious optimism about potential accountability here? What's new and what's developing?
So the very sad chapter in the whole Russiagate hoax is what has been done to individuals in this. And, of course, the case of General Flynn has been a tragic one, where an American hero, 33-year combat veteran who has been defending America and risking his life for America all of his life, has then somehow been turned into a traitor. And he has been, him and his family have been subject to vicious attacks, and culminating in him facing a jail sentence for something that a small group of us knew he didn't do. He did not lie to the FBI. We all, you know, knew that. But the press attacks were just absolutely horrific. And the comments, unfortunately, clearly, it had some kind of effect on the judge because he was calling him a traitor, which is just absolutely horrific to have that happening in America. And so, and I obviously have a lot of knowledge about this subject because I was the person allegedly who put General Flynn on this treacherous path. I made him a traitor because in the false story of the Russia collusion, I was the woman who, on behalf of Russian intelligence, seduced General Flynn with the view of recruiting him for Putin, for KGB, for whatever, Russian intelligence. And I knew the whole thing was a lie because I knew that I wasn't a Russian spy. I knew that I did not seduce General Flynn. And I also knew the source. The source was Stephen Halper. And Stephen Halper was a long-term FBI informant who was the chief witness and informant for the Crossfire Hurricane team who were allegedly investigating Russia collusion. And I therefore knew I had the unfortunate advantage over everyone else that I knew that the whole thing was false 2-3 years ago. And I had to watch my life and General Flynn's life being turned upside down through the false allegations, and General Flynn was potentially going to prison based on the lies of Stephen Halper. And it didn't seem like there was going to be any end to that, because no matter what you said, no matter how many times you repeated that this is all false, they were just railroading him. And we've been watching this for, nearly 3 years now. And of course, they also did the similar things to me where they chased me out of my house. You know, I was receiving death threats for being a traitor myself. And it was just horrific. And my reputation was just completely ruined. I lost my job at University of Cambridge. I lost my friends. I mean, the whole thing was just nasty, nasty, horrible. And so, frankly, and, you know, we've been waiting for justice, and justice just wasn't coming. And then suddenly there were, and it was looking like it was never going to come. And suddenly there was this extraordinary news that there were documents, new documents were produced in the case of General Flynn. And for those who've been following the case, you'd know that. But for those who didn't, you'd know that. So you might know that there's an order in the case of General Flynn, as is actually a long-standing order anyway, that any Brady documents, so they said any documents which show that the person is not guilty of the crimes that they're accused of, called exculpatory evidence, must be produced by the prosecution to the court and to, of course, the defendant himself. So not just the documents which are shown guilt, but also the documents show that the person is not guilty. And for a very long time, General Flynn's legal team has been fighting to get hold of those exculpatory documents. And they were not being produced by the prosecutors. And the prosecutors in General Flynn's case are attack dogs of former special counsel Mueller. And they were refusing to produce documents which could show that General Flynn is not guilty of the crimes he's accused of. And it looked like they were never going to be produced. Then the announcement came from Attorney General Barr that he appointed appointed a U.S. Attorney, I believe in Missouri, Jensen, to independently review the case of General Flynn. And it's through the process of this review of the FBI files or any other files on General Flynn, that he found some documents which were given to the court and which General Flynn's counsel described as stunning sculpture Brady evidence. And then there was this nerve-wracking few days when we were waiting for the good documents to be unsealed. So his counsel, General Flynn's counsel, had the documents, obviously General Flynn had them, but we didn't know what they were, but we knew there was something really, really important there. And so when those documents were unsealed in two batches, we, all of us who are watching this on social media, on television, or reading the actual documents, we gasped because our worst fears materialized. There are documents showing that the Crossfire Hurricane team, that's the team which is supposed to investigate Russia collusion for the FBI, were saying things like they can actually make people lie, you know. So they're discussing, well, should we get him to lie, meaning that they're capable yes. of forcing anyone to lie. There's also, I mean, you know, it's just the many, many documents like that, which obviously I think there have been a few very good articles written about, and General Flynn's counsel be on television, but just show the extent to which General Flynn was being set up. And it just sent, you know, chills down my spine, because that means that anyone can be General Flynn.
Exactly. And apparently, the former Mueller attack dogs working on the Flynn prosecution, Brandon Van Grack among them, they withheld 6,800 pages of documents from Flynn's defense team all the way along, and they kept saying, oh, we don't have anything. Not to mention the original 302 from the original interview. Oh, that was lost, apparently. But suddenly, we're talking to Svetlana Lokova. Svetlana gets to see the information she's been trying to be able to see for the past 3 years, and it's chilling what's been going on here. Totally chilling. We're going to continue this when we get back. Matt Dunn here, Backbone Radio, with Svetlana Lokova.
News Talk 710, KNUS. News Talk 710, KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710, KNUS.
I'm just telling it like it is. I don't need you to say those words no more.
Yeah, telling it like it is. That's what we do around here. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Backbone Radio. Matt Dunn here. We're talking to one of the key figures of the entire multi-year Spygate scandal that is America's all-time biggest political scandal, in my opinion, and the opinion of President Donald Trump, who was just tweeting about that not only yesterday, about America's biggest political scandal and a wronged individual, an innocent academic, just humbly working away at Cambridge University, happened to attend a February 2014 dinner with about 20 different people in Cambridge, and General Flynn happened to also be there at this dinner. There's about opposite sides of the table, I believe, and apparently Svetlana Lokova is accused of even after this dinner, jumping in a taxi cab with General Flynn and this diabolical plot, of which there is zero truth to it, and new information is just coming out. Finally, the furballs pulled out of the Justice Department, and Bill Priestap, an FBI agent, in his own handwriting, there is a note that says, is our goal in investigating Flynn to, quote, get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? That is a smoking gun right there, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, and Svetlana Lokova, I might just say, you know, would you say that if there's a smoking gun in here, that some of it is this Priestap handwritten note talking about the motivations of the FBI to be, you know, prolonging and extending and even interviewing General Flynn?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think the whole release is a smoking gun for a variety of reasons. One is it's actually what's in the document, which we'll come back to in a minute. But secondly, and this is coming back to your original question, which is my cause for my idea of cautious optimism, is that the fact that AG Barr's own Department of Justice produced those documents, found them, and handed them over to the court, which should have been done, you know, at least 2 years ago.
Yes.
But that means that AG Barr and his attorneys are taking it really, really seriously. They're genuinely looking to right the wrongs, but also, you know, it's not just for General Flynn, it's for all of us, because the trust has to be restored in the justice system. So the fact that justice system itself is now cooperating with the defense attorney and with the court to give full transparency now, that's a huge deal. And so It's the fact that those documents were finally turned over. It's huge. It's really important. And the fact that they come from the Justice Department is hugely important. And then what's in that what's in those documents is, well, you know, of course they wanted to hide them, right? Once you start reading
sure.
them. And, there's so many things to go through them. But I think the key document that, familiar with in terms of what actually happened and can discuss is a massive scandal, because that document, the document about Stefan Halper, confidential human source, informing on General Flynn was what started the counterintelligence investigation into General Flynn. So the sequence of events, so the documents we got, they were from the closing report. So they looked into General Flynn for the counterintelligence purposes, didn't find anything, and they were going to close it. And then there's a bunch of documents showing that they actually didn't close, which is, you know, probably for another time. But what that tells us, what the closing report tells us, or the attempt to close investigation report tells us, is why was the investigation open on American Hero, on a three-star general, former head of DIA with top-level classified clearance, national security advisor? Why would they open the counterintelligence investigation into him?
Exactly. And why was Flynn the target? Why was it so important for the Obama administration to get rid of Flynn?
Right. And the reasons for that are numerous. But the one thing you know is what's counted in terms of investigation. This is when they suspect that you're a spy or could be some kind of asset for a foreign power. Now, think about it for 1 second. This is the man who served his country for 33 years. This is the man who served his country under Obama administration and held the highest level clearance, not just for President Trump. Why would anyone... It's a huge deal. You do not open a counterintelligence investigation. Like, I think the problem that's been happening is that we're so used to talk about this Russian collusion and counterintelligence and all that, that we almost lose the biggest scandal of all this, which is they opened an investigation which de facto is accusing former head of Defense Intelligence Agency of the United States, candidate and national security advisor for the candidate, and then becomes national security advisor for the president, all being an asset of foreign power. I mean, there is no precedent in American history of this other than Benedict Arnold. You do not put traitors in charge of your national security. It's just not how it works. And so I think that everyone should be outraged about that. They even opened on General Flynn at all, because there was no reason to open on him. Now, when we look into the detail, that's when it becomes even more terrifying. So they, in the documents that precede the opening, they say that the FBI Crossfire Hurricane team say that they checked the databases that they have for any kind of derogatory information, i.e. basically could General Flynn somehow be some kind of foreign asset. And of course, they came out with nothing, because he's not and couldn't be. Then they went and checked with other agencies. So the names of the agencies are redacted, but given that he was used to had DIA, it's logical to suggest that they probably went and checked with the DIA, with his former employer, and with other intelligence agencies. That returned nothing. They had nothing on him. Then we can see from the IG report that on 11th and 12th of August, Stefan Halper, called Source 2, meets with the members of the Crossfire Hurricane team and says something to them about General Flynn. And we didn't know from the IG report what is it he said. But we now know what it is he said because of this new smoking gun document, which is that what he told the Crossfire Hurricane team is that he personally witnessed Michael Flynn leaving a dinner in Cambridge and that a Russian woman named Lukova, Amy, surprised everyone who was at that dinner by jumping in a cab with him and leaving into the night, leaving to the train station and then into the night.
Leaving into the night. And here we were coming up on a break talking to Svetlana Lukova. And this gets to what Stefan Halper is accusing Flynn of, and accusing Svetlana Lukova of seducing General Flynn, jumping into a cab with him, yes, heading off into the night together. But guess what? Halper wasn't even at the dinner. And we'll talk about this. We'll talk about this when we come back. It could not be more fascinating or more sad at the same time, but yet also we're getting cautiously optimistic. These wrongs are being righted. Be right back.
KNUS Denver, a Salem Media Group station. This is Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
Fly away on my Zeppelin. I feel it more than ever.
All right, welcome back. Backbone Radio here with Svetlana Lukova on the phone line, having a truly fascinating interview. We are here telling the story that mainstream media does not want you to hear, has tried to keep bottled up. For years, they have done everything possible to hide everything you are hearing right now. But the persistence of a fighter like Svetlana Lukova helps bring all of this home. And Attorney General Barr did appoint U.S. Attorney Jeff Jensen, based in St. Louis, Missouri, to review the handling of evidence in the Flynn case. And oh, somehow Jeff Jensen found a whole bunch of stuff that somehow Brennan Van Grack and the corrupt DOJ people were not handing over to General Flynn and his defense team. 6,800 pages worth, and a bunch of it quite fascinating, and it has been unsealed. So Svetlana Lukova, for the first time after all these years, it was a 2014 dinner she attended with General Flynn. 2017 is when the actual controversy started, 3 years later. It's amazing how this played out. And now we are getting to see this unsealed stuff and some of what this Stefan Halper guy, longtime dirty trickster spook with ties to the CIA and the FBI, was saying about Svetlana Lukova seducing General Flynn and jumping into the taxi cab. What was it like, Svetlana Lukova, to see this, to finally get this information, to see what was unsealed here? And yeah, what do you make of this taxi cab assertion? For a dinner that, I mean, Halper wasn't even there, right? I mean, he said he was a witness. He told the FBI he was a witness, but where was he? Was he there?
He wasn't. He lied to the FBI. He lied to the FBI because the only document they have to start, and I repeat, a counterintelligence investigation, i.e. into investigation into espionage, into recently retired head of Defense Intelligence Agency, National Security Advisor for candidate and then President Trump, all they have to start that investigation is this fake report from a very well-known dirty trickster, Stefan Halper, claiming in 2016 and 17 that he witnessed something that happened in 2014. And even in the very report, it said that he could not remember the date. Well, of course he couldn't remember the date when it happened because he wasn't there. He was not there. And the FBI agent has to add the note to the file saying that he had to look up the date of General Flynn's visit to Cambridge in order to find out the date. So the witness of a what they call incident, based on which they organized the opening of counterintelligence investigation, I repeat, of a three-star general, national security advisor, was based on so-called evidence from the guy who wasn't there, and he verifiably wasn't there. And when I saw that, I mean, it's a mixture. On a personal level, I was devastated because I am a private individual. None of us would want to end up in any kind of, you know, FBI files, let alone within a context of being this seductress and be lied upon. And for me, this was particularly painful because As you followed my story very closely, as you know, that the allegations against me came at the time that I've just had a young baby. Well, I just had a baby.
Yes.
And the baby was just only a few weeks old when this information that health were provided to the FBI,
oh my gosh, yeah,
he also leaked to the media. And so I got attacked viciously by the media, and been called a traitor and some other words that I cannot repeat, you know, on live radio. And it was all completely based on false accusations. And I didn't know where it was coming from. Because remember, you know, all this event with Donald Trump and Michael Flynn and all of that, it's all happening in America, in Washington, right? The election and the national security team and all of that. I'm just a regular person in England, across the ocean, with no knowledge or understanding of American politics. And so I had no idea how my name, my photograph ended up on the front pages of newspapers, and why I started receiving death threats for being a traitor.
Wow.
And so I was just absolutely my world was torn upside down. And then I immediately tried to give interviews to say, look, I'm not that person. And majority of the people actually didn't want to listen to me because the media was complicit. But one publication did, you know, BBC, like, you did publish my interview. But at that stage, I didn't know that Stefan Halper was actually an informant. So I knew Stefan Halper manufactured those lies. I knew he gave him to the press. But remember, Stefan Halper was masquerading at my university, Cambridge, England, as a professor. So he was actually a long-term informant for the FBI and God knows for whom else. But he was pretending to be a professor. And as part of it, he infiltrated our academic institution and our academic seminars. So I actually know Stefan Halper as this professor because he was every week attending an academic seminar. And I heard that he started spreading rumors around me that I'm some kind of Russian spy and that I seduced General Flynn. But when I went to speak to my mentor, who was a friend of Stefan Halper, and then they fell out over some business consulting opportunities.
Right. Christopher Andrew, and I have about a dozen of that guy's books on my shelf in my man cave, and that's your mentor.
Right. And I went to him and I said, what's going on? Why is this guy doing this? And he said to me, because there's some kind of dispute between them, and because Professor Andrew was my mentor, therefore somehow I was on the receiving end of this, and basically to ignore it. And remember, Stefan Halper was 72 at the time. He was asleep in most of the lectures. Very rude and obnoxious individual, but also not somebody you imagine as some kind of super spy, right? He was just this, it was just a sleepy seminar with a bunch of old men, and he was, and majority of them were actually quite nice, but he was just a rude old man, half asleep. So I hardly could imagine that he would be the one at the center of the Russian collusion investigation.
Right, and I'll just add an editorial comment that he's like the inverse. Halper would be the inverse, the exact reverse of a 007 figure, the portly, lumbering, wheezing Halper attending these lectures. And I don't mean to intrude that into the conversation, but it's just remarkable. You know, you would not think of this guy as like some super spy, but apparently he was.
That's the thing, right? I didn't know. I didn't know. So I knew that he was very unpleasant. Then I had this press attacks on me, and I've been told he's a source. But I didn't know it was part of an intelligence operation, right? So then what happens is that in May 2018, Halper gets exposed in the press as a confidential human source. And do you remember that very famous tweet by Donald Trump? There's a spy in my, trying to approach my campaign.
Yes.
He's been paid a lot of money for this. That's about Stefan Halper, and that's where the phrase Spygate comes from, right?
Yes.
Because that's where Donald Trump says it's the biggest political scandal in American history, calling it Spygate. He's referring to Stefan Halper as spy on his campaign, right? And that point, I realized, because they say that they couldn't name him because the department, the old Department of Justice and the old FBI were trying to suppress his name from being revealed. Because they said that they would compromise operations, compromise lives, endanger lives, and compromise sources and methods The only thing it actually, as his name ended up being revealed, the only thing it compromised is their collusion and
yes.
their operation against the president. Because once you know Stephen Halper, right, you know immediately that this was never a proper investigation. This was an operation to, first of all, fix the election, and when that didn't work, to remove the president. Because Stephen Halper is a very well-known dirty operative. He's been doing this thing since the 80s, you know, interfering in elections, fixing elections. And he is a known liar, and he's a known trickster, dirty trickster, right? So, of course, you don't hire a guy like that to investigate. You hire a guy like that to lie, to cheat, and to set people up, which is what Stephen Halper did.
And he got paid to do it. The American taxpayer paid him upwards of $1 million for some of this stuff, and it's absolutely outrageous. And by the way, Halper is an American citizen, and you know, he's been a known quantity going back even to the Ronald Reagan administration, tangentially involved in a lot of high-level politics and, spook-type stuff going back decades. And, you know, still up to the old tricks, apparently. And you...
Right.
Yes, Svetlana, the Obama administration had to get rid of Flynn, and wave one of getting rid of Flynn happened to be involving Svetlana Lokova and these accusations of the seduction and jumping into the taxi cab. And was it just surreal to read that stuff? I mean, because there was no taxi cab, right? I mean, how would you characterize that of the testimony there?
Absolutely not. So what happened was General Flynn attended a formal dinner in the United Kingdom. He was head of the Defense Intelligence Agency then, back then, for Obama administration, highly respected, decorated veteran who was the head of DIA. And it was a huge coup for Cambridge to have him there, both in terms of, you know, he was such an important visitor, but also the group, which was headed by Christopher Andrews, Sir Richard Dale, after he's a former head of MI6 who retired and became a master of Cambridge College, Pembroke. And Stephen Halper, they organized a trip for General Flynn to come there because they wanted funding, because Defense Intelligence Agency were funding part of the Cambridge intelligence program. And so for them, this was a very nice, cushy sort of, you know, contract if they could get it. And so they made it, they pulled out all the stops, they...
And here comes the brave. So they wined and dined Flynn, and then 3 years later, they put it to use to try to take him down. Svetlana Lokova, hang right there. We'll be right back.
News Talk 710 KNUS. Listen live at radio.com. Now, back to Backbone Radio with Matt Dunn. News Talk 710 KNUS.
All right, carrying right on along in our conversation with Svetlana Lokova, key figure in the exploding Spygate scandal. I do think it is blowing sky high, and Flynn is part and parcel central to this whole thing falling apart, and I'm submitting that it was such a small group of individuals that were plotting all of this spying on President Trump and setting up of their political opposition, the Team Obama people, the Deep State people, the Six Ways from Sunday people, that when you start getting one person to go down, when you start having like one Halper go down, or you start having a Peter Strzok or a Lisa Page and this evidence is coming out, that it's such a tight little, tightly knit group that other individuals are not far away. And that does even include the media, people like David Ignatius, who Svetlana Lokova has had some contact with over the years. But Svetlana, thank you for being able to hang on with us as we continue to just unfurl this story, which I do think is exploding. We're getting somewhere in the exoneration of General Flynn. You've even expressed your cautious optimism for the first time, and you've been through an awful lot for these past 3 years, and it's probably hard emotionally to know, like, if you should like get excited or, like, you know, actually allow yourself to feel good about things, or, you know what I mean? It's, I can understand the situation you must be in. But you were in midstream describing the dinner that Flynn attended in February 2014, that you also attended the fateful dinner and so forth, and why Flynn was brought there and what Halper's role was in all this. So if you'd like to pick up sort of where you were on that.
Sure. General Flynn was the head of Obama's DIA, so he was a hugely important visitor to Cambridge on his trip to United States. He was accompanied by his Defense Intelligence Agency liaison team. And one of the stops he made is at University of Cambridge, where the master of Pembroke College, so this is one of Cambridge colleges in England, Richard Dearlove, he used to be the former, well, he was former head of MI6, and then he retired, became the master of the college. And he was a member of a group of senior people within Cambridge Intelligence Seminar, together with Stephen Halper and Christopher Andrew. And the visit was organized for General Flynn in the college of Richard Dearlove in his private master's lodge. And it was a VIP event. So, so Michael Flynn gave a speech to the whole of Cambridge University. And afterwards, a selected group of us joined him for the dinner. And our names were taken down in advance. And they were pre-approved and pre-screened by the DIA personnel, and presumably probably by, you know, UK and US authorities in addition too. And so the only people who would be at the dinner, which was between 12 and 15 people, all of those people's names were pre-checked. So you wouldn't be at the dinner if you were not completely clean. Because, of course, you cannot put, you know, your head of defense intelligence agency head at risk. Now, I didn't sit next to General Flynn. I sat across the table from him. And as I was the only woman in the room, I sat next to Richard Dearlove, who was on the outside of Flynn, General Flynn, because he was the host for the evening. This must have concern.
Sounds like you have a young daughter there. Your house sounds like my house with my little people running around hollering.
So apparently I was meant to be in bed with her when she woke up. And so therefore there's some frustration as to why she woke up and mom is not there. So just 1 second. This is the daughter that was born into, you know, she literally was born into crossfire hurricane.
Yes, because, she's had quite a first 3 years of life. Mommy and daddy going through a lot of very wild stuff. Mom and dad only happened to be at the epicenter of the biggest political scandal in American history. That's all. Nothing more than that.
That's quite a legacy. So sorry for the scream in the background, so just to go over that last bit, is that, of course, everyone was pre-cleared for the dinner. I sat across the table from General Flynn. I didn't speak to him throughout the whole evening because the senior people were talking, right? And we weren't invited. There was a few of us. Majority of the people at the table were people like, you know, former head of MI6, official historian of MI5. DIA people, other intelligence people, you know, community people. And there were about three or four of us who were like handpicked students or graduate students or researchers. And we were invited just to demonstrate the quality of Cambridge University research, because the senior guys were basically trying to get funding from the DIA for our Cambridge group. And so towards the end of the evening, I was asked to showcase my research to General Flynn. I had an iPad on me, and I had a document there from dating 1912 with handwritings of Joseph Stalin. And it's a fascinating document because everyone knows that Joseph Stalin is this dictator or the war leader, other things like that. But nobody really knows how he, as a young revolutionary, was, whilst on the run from the secret police, was corresponding with his friends. And I found in his private archive, I found a document which nobody has seen before. It's a postcard. And on the back of it is signed handwriting. And he sends a joke because he knows that the secret police will be reading it. But by that stage, he was already saved. And that was a sort of something that Cambridge University, you know, is very well known for, which is its top quality research. So I managed to find the document, which, you know, changes our perception on the early days of, you know, Joseph Stalin. So I was asked to demonstrate this document to General Flynn. So I passed my iPad, on which I had a digital copy of this document, to Richard Dealer, because he was sat next to me. And then he got up to pass it across to General Flynn. And then I was asked to tell a story about how the man who we know as this great dictator was actually at some point this revolutionary on the run, and how he sent this note to his friend, you know, hugging them and saying, I'm safe. So as I told the story, that was the extent of my conversation with General Flynn, which was, you know, a group conversation. And then on the way out, when the dinner finished, General Flynn was being picked up by his security team and the DIA liaison team, you know, big guys with, you know, clearly had guns under their, you know, suits.
Sure.
And he was going into the corridor and shaking hands with Richard Dearlove and so the senior people and Christopher Andrew. And I managed to take a photograph on them on the way out shaking hands. And that was that, right? So his security detail took him out of the building. And all of us stayed behind. So our Cambridge group stayed behind to discuss what a great success the dinner was.
Sure. No taxi cab, huh? No.
Right. No.
No leaping into the taxi cab, as Halper has alleged.
That's right. And then we had about a 15-minute debrief. And then one of the people who were present, a gentleman called Bill Foster, who is a historian at Cambridge University, he escorted me downstairs because the room was basically very far away from the road.
Yep.
It's like a private lodge, so Cambridge colleges are like...
And then
like
picked up by your husband, and actually, here's the break. Hang on.
We're all in this together, united as one. News Talk 710, KNUS, Denver.